Good morning. Praise the Lord for an amazing, amazing morning. This is Becky Spieth, and I'm just so blessed to be here with you guys this morning. God's got an amazing plan for our future, doesn't he? And he's so faithful that he cares about everything that we care about. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to start our study about how to combat the five P's of the enemy. Okay, we're going to give you the secret to that today. Father God, thank you so much for another day. I pray that you would just help us to receive your word. Lord, I thank you that you love us. And Lord, that you tell us, Jesus, that you even pray and intercede for us. We thank you, Jesus, for that. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your supernatural wisdom. And Father God, we just come before you asking you for an amazing time to draw closer to you so that when we leave the call today, we're all closer to you, that we can see with your eyes, we can hear with your ears, we can have our hearts be open to loving and serving in the way that you do. We just give you glory, honor, and praise for another day, for who you are. And Lord, I just pray that you will help us to be faithful to serve you to the best of our ability. We love you and thank you, as this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I want you to think about this. If you had an enemy, right, what would you do? If you, let's switch that just a little bit. Let's make a little quarter turn here. And if you were the enemy, what would you do if you knew that your enemy was going to be strong, but yet you knew it was your job to bring them down? So you, what would you do? You'd probably get really strategic, right? Especially if they were strong. But you know that every wall's got a weak spot. There's got to be something weak in each person, right? Maybe what you would do if you were our enemy is you might tempt the person towards certain sins, making them believe that they were basically even biologically unavoidable, right? How easy would that be? What I would probably do if I was your enemy, I'd probably study what you did on a consistent basis. I would look at your tendencies, and I would look to see what you leaned toward in specific situations and conditions to make sure that I could see what did you like to indulge in or what were you fighting to get not indulge in. Then what I would do is I'd strike right there because I would know that would be a weak place for you, right? And I'd probably do it again and again and again and again, kind of like chipping away with an axe at a tree until I could wear you down. Because if I knew I couldn't separate you forever from God, I'd at least set you up so that you would have a frustrating time in the process, right? What I would do is I'd probably try to see if I could weaken you and get your understanding to be one where you thought you weren't really sure of what was truth and what was not, right? What about, and let's just get personal here, what about you're sitting at the dinner table and, oh, the warm rolls smell so good, and you can see the butter's nice and soft next to them, and you've got some wonderful mouth-watering blackberry jam sitting right next to it. Now, even though you're not hungry, what would I do? Oh, I'd probably let you know that you might be hungry or depleted or maybe lonely, maybe frustrated or tired, and boy, that if you just ate that one more thing than what you truly needed, it'd be okay. I'd make you think about how delicious that was and comforting. Even as a child, how you used to just eat extra just for that reason. I'd hit you precisely where I knew it would get you. Oh, I'd bring it really personal to you, and then I'd be persistent, and I would do it over and over and over again. Well, that's what the enemy does to us. He uses precision, personalization, and persistence. What he does is he comes at us in the areas that he knows are our weakness, whether it's food, whether it's lack of self-confidence, lack of knowing who we are in Christ, whether it's lack of exercise, whether it's finances, whether it's scarcity, abandonment, doubt. I mean, he knows exactly where to get us, right? So he's going to use those three P's, precision, personalization, and persistence, and he's going to come at you at the most opportune times. He's going to put well-placed temptation in front of you that's going to be the most irresistible for you. Let me ask you this. Are the enemy's temptations, the one he picks out and personalizes for you, just coincidence? I think not. Are they uncalculated? Are they happenstance? I doubt it. Do you remember when you were a little kid and maybe your mom or your dad said, don't touch the stove because it's hot? And you get closer and closer. And maybe one time you decided that you would touch it just to see and you burnt your hand. That temptation was real, wasn't it? You wanted to test and to see if it really was true. But I want to encourage you, when you are told right now by the Word of God not to mess with the things of the enemy, that when you even smell the scent of temptation in the air, turn the other way. When we allow any type of impurity into our life, what it does is it weakens us. And it weakens our prayer life. It weakens our entire Christian walk. And what happens then is because that impurity starts to weaken us, it's going to weaken our power. Because what happens is it starts the separation between God and us. And it doesn't mean that we're going to not ever, you know, we've been sealed. So it's not that we're not going to go to heaven or be in relationship, but it causes separation. It causes things to separate in our relationship with the Lord. What we've done is we've, in essence, created a bottleneck, and we're kind of like leaking oil or leaking power consistently when we allow that sin into our life or that temptation to constantly be there. So we end up basically, in practical terms, living like a double-minded man that's mentioned in the New Testament in James 1, 7 through 8. And it tells us that the double-minded man says you should not expect to receive anything from the Lord because he's unstable in all his ways. Now, does that mean because God is trying to punish you? No, you've just separated yourself away from him because you've allowed so much sin into your life. God wants to give us everything. He wants to do good in our lives. But our iniquities, our sin, has caused separation between us and God. And it tells us actually in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, it says, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Separation. One of the greatest fears that man has. That's what sin creates. And prayers have the power and from the person that lives in righteous living. So when we want to combat those three areas of the enemy, what we need to do is we need to put on the breastplate of righteousness because righteousness matters. That's how we fight those three P's. Have you ever gone and maybe, especially here in Texas, we've got to be really careful. But have you ever gone and you've maybe been doing landscaping or maybe you've been like you go to move the something that's been overturned? Maybe it's been a boat or a tote or a rock or something that's been overturned, and you decide that you were going to maybe go fishing or something like that. I know that we had a pond across the street. We had a river that would go through our farm, and then if we would go up river, go upstream, it would lead to a pond across the street, and it was beautiful because there were hills leading up to it. No one could see the pond was back there, and we discovered it one day. And what we discovered was that someone would go back there and mow, and there was actually a boat. And so what we would do is we would go to the boat, and we would sometimes go in the boat to get out to the middle of the pond. Now, occasionally what we would see is we would go and over to the pond to go fishing, as we might see snakes, we'd see frogs, we'd see lots and lots of turtles. And sometimes we would see salamanders and different creatures. But we almost always knew if we weren't careful and going slowly, with the boat, before we would overturn it, there'd be some kind of critter. So what I would do, because I didn't like critters, I think I could walk on water if I see a snake. It's that bad. I would go and I would jiggle the boat and kind of click it with my foot to make a little bit of noise, kind of banging on it, because it would scare away whatever critters happened to be underneath there. And I kind of think it's kind of the same thing when we think about the enemy. When we leave things turned upside down, what that does is it creates the right environment where there isn't light. There's darkness. It's cool. It's damp. And the light of God doesn't shine in, does it? When we have impure living or thinking or relationships or affections, that upside-down living, it creates the perfect environment and breeding ground for demonic activity in our life. It invites the enemy in, and then it fosters the perfect place for his turmoil and trouble to thrive, right? The only thing that's going to scare it away is by boldly proclaiming the word of God, making a little bit of noise, and then overturning and allowing the light to come in. We have to choose righteousness, especially in those times of upside-down living, right? We need right-side-up living. We need to commit to praying fervently. We need to consistently recognize the ploys of the enemy and bring them into view. What it also does is when we're fervent in our prayer time, when we're devoted, when we decide that we're not going to allow, to the best of our ability, the enemy to come in to our lives, we're not going to create a safe haven for him to come and hang out, that what we're doing is we're creating more purity, and that's going to deflect the enemy. And it starts with righteousness. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think that, when we start to experience the kinds of consequences, that God's not there? No. Sometimes consequences are a result of what we've gone through, the choices we've made, the sin in our life, the areas where we've been complacent, the areas where we've been disobedient and allowed complacency to set into our life. Does it mean that when we feel disgusted, despondent, miserable, or totally unenergized, that Jesus isn't there? No. He's there. And it doesn't mean that we're not ever going to do anything wrong again. We're still going to be tempted. But will we let the temptation in? Will we let it be a constant reminder wearing away at us? When we spend time in prayer, when we commit to purity, the enemy flees. What we do is we strip Satan of the power to rope us down to do the same old cycle of sin we've known over and over and over again. When we ask the Lord for the same thing over and over and over again, should we ask if it's a way that we're allowing the enemy to come in and rob us of what God has truly intended for us? And what does he intend for us to do? We just need to tell the enemy, he can't touch this. It's done. It's taken care of. And do what the Lord's asked us to do. God wants us to stay in the realm of his glory. He wants us to walk in that freedom and possibility of what he's created us for. I want you to think about, and I want you to get really serious about it this week, and I want you to grab a pen or a pencil. I want you to get comfortable with a notepad, and I want you to write down your struggles. I mean the areas that you really, really struggle in, the things that come up over and over and over again in your life. Name them specifically. Unmask them. Overturn the boat. Let the light in. Make them show their faces, because when you come to this place, there's a scripture for each one to help you overcome. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Let the light shine in. Allow the purity of God's love to come in. Strategize your obedience as diligently as the enemy is strategizing his temptations against you. Think about Romans 6, 12 through 14. It says, therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lust, and don't open or go on presenting the members of your body as sin, as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Galatians 5:16 tells us to walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Romans 6:21 through 23 says, what fruit has been produced then from the things you are now ashamed of? From the end of those things is death. But now, since you've been liberated from sin and have become enslaved to God, you have your fruit, which results in sanctification, and the end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. He doesn't want you enslaved to this sin. He doesn't want you to have that same temptation over and over and over again. He wants to give you that freedom. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, Ephesians 6:14. Luke 22:31-32 says, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And we know that God's word is true. Stop separating yourself from him and walk in his truth. He's prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, we praise you and thank you for your goodness, for your grace, for your mercy, for your love. Lord, we thank you for the parties that Gloriella has already held this week and for her sales. Lord, we thank you for your provision. And Lord, we just ask that favor go out before her. Help her to truly identify where she needs to overturn the boat. Let the light come in. Help her to not leave one stone unturned, that she can walk in all that you have for her, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for traveling mercies for Jean, Lord, and that for her mother, Lord, that you would just give her clear direction for her future, both in health and finances. And Lord, I just pray that you will send comfort and wrap your arms around Carla and her family as they've lost her mom and her dad in such a short period of time. Lord, you know grief, but you do not desire for us to stay in a place of heartbreak. So Father God, I pray that you would help bring love and light into her life, that she would feel your grace and your mercy during this time of grieving, that you would show her and give her that longing to be with you the way that she longs to be with her parents, that she realizes now that you are her only source for wisdom, direction, peace. Love her like only you can love her. Father God, I pray for Amy as she's in Belize, Lord, on the mission trip. Lord, that she's leading teams. So, Father God, I pray that you would give her wisdom and direction. We pray protection over her. We turn back any curse that's been brought upon them by the enemy. We return them back to the sender. Lord, we pray for peace, for provision. We pray that for supernatural miracles to take place, for conversions, Lord, that young lives and hearts would be touched, that men and women of all ages would come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. And Lord, I pray protection over their health while they do that, and traveling mercies for them as well. Lord, I praise you for how faithful you are and what you're doing in Rebecca's family's life, specifically with her daughter. Lord, I thank you for freedom, complete and total freedom in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for Cynthia's daughter. Lord, that we know that you can heal her right now in Jesus' name. We command her body to come into alignment with how you've created it. Lord, we know that you create our bodies to be regenerative. I pray that you restore her now in Jesus' name. Remove this blockage, that you will save her and save her kidney in Jesus' name. That you will guide the hands and the minds of the doctors, Lord. That you would bring peace to Cynthia and her family and her daughter especially, that no fear would be there, but they would stand in total faith knowing that you've prayed for her, that you've called her, and that you tell us that you work all things together for good for those that love you and are called according to your purpose, Lord, and you are working all things together for good. Bring health, bring healing now in Jesus' name. Lord, I call forth your ministering angels to minister her to her continually until she is completely restored. Lord, I pray that you will give Chili discernment in her decisions in Jesus' name, that she would take on the mind of Christ, that all of the whispers of the enemy would be destroyed in Jesus' name, that she would stand firm knowing who she is in Christ, that she does have the mind of Christ, because you tell us that you have given us love, power, and a strong mind, that you would give her direction in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that you would be with Bob, Lord, that you would help release the finances to his client who is behind and has made promises that he would bring forth what is owed to Bob, Lord. And we just ask that you would bless him and bless him abundantly and then have him fulfill his promises just like you fulfill your promises. Lord, I do pray that you will bring in finances and blessings and resources in all forms, not just to Bob, but each person listening to this call in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that you would help Bonnie to find strong and good recruits for her business, Lord. Women that are on fire that want to make a difference, Lord. We know that you've given us the ability to create wealth, and so we are asking now that you would bring forth those women and help Bonnie to see them. Help Bonnie to know where they're at, that you would send favor out before her, that they would start coming to her, and that she would be very mindful, that she would see them, she would hear them, and she would be able to say the words that they would need to hear. Lord, we just bind the enemy in Jesus' name. You have no more power over us, over our businesses, over our families, in Jesus' name. We call forth the goodness of God in every area of our lives and our businesses. Thank you, Lord, for your freedom. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your love. Thank you that you desire a close relationship with us and forgive us for those places that we have sinned and allowed temptation or impurity to come into our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you are always calling us close to you. We love you and thank you and ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have an awesome week. I am so excited to be able to have been with you today. I'll be praying for each one of you this week, and I would just ask that you would pray for me as well. I'm going on a big speaking tour starting on the 1st, and I'll be gone most of the month. We'll still be having our prayer calls. I'll just be doing them from wherever I'm at. But I just ask that you would keep me and my family and my travel and the clients that I'll be working with in prayer as I'll be traveling all over the country. I'm just so blessed and honored that you would spend time with us today. Have a great week, and know that God loves you. Take care, everybody. Bye now.